Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Wednesday night, the night that we like to just go from person to person and prophesy over everybody. If you got time to hang in there, we will minister to you personally. And so thank God for that. Thank God for Wednesdays. Wednesdays are a good day, and we're grateful that we are able to do that for God's people, and we just love doing it. And so thanks for getting in there. Jumping in there and being a part. All right. Very, very interesting. Okay. As you know, all things, kind of things happen on, going on all over the place with Russia, all that stuff happening. What's that going to turn into? I don't know yet. I haven't heard from God about any of that yet. Just believing God to show me stuff when he's ready. Kind of opinions about it. But opinions are interesting and fun to deal with, you know, but at the same time, they can really bring a lot of division sometimes. So we have to really be careful to make sure that we share what the Lord is saying. All right? All right. Okay, so, all right, thank you for being with us, and we are believing God to increase and multiply you, that, you know, God will bless you, cause you to know his will, give you some kind of confirmation, some kind of, you know, thoughts about which way you're heading, which way he's heading. And if you're walking together with him or you're just kind of doing your own thing or whatever. All right, we all need to know that for sure. So if you're interested in that, you might find some of that right here on the show. So, yeah. Let's get this thing going over here. All right. The world's being shaken. Things are going on. Everybody's talking about Putin right now. At least all the news cycles. What's going on with that? From the Lord. I don't have anything from the Lord about what's going on exactly, but I'm believing God. He's going to show us what he wants us to know, if anything. And something that's going to change the globe. I'm sure he will tell us, right? I do know one thing that we're trying to get out to the community, the body of Christ, and that is that when God has a sovereign will that's being done, that one thing we need to learn to do, sometimes it's rather difficult, is learn how to, you know, get a hold of that word and start asking God what he wants us to do concerning the big changes going on that we cannot stop. Sometimes I think we can stop. People think they can stop what's going on. They can stop what's happening, what God is, you know, doing in the world. If somehow we can pray and bind it up. Well, there's sometimes, you know, that's possible. But in the case of the sovereign will of God, like what happened with Pharaoh, when Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, you know, what was it? What was that dream? It was really prophesying. God was prophesying to him. He was giving him a prophetic word in a dream, right? That's really what it was. What was God showing him? He was showing him the future. What's the prophetic? What's a prophet do? Reveals the future. So God was giving him a prophetic word in a dream. So what happened? Joseph came along and interpreted and gave the prophetic dream its interpretation. In other words, revealing what it meant. And what it meant was that he had two dreams, just like Joseph had two dreams, revealing the sovereignty of God in his situation. There wasn't anything he could do about it. He was going to go to, because he was going to be thrown out of Canaan, but he didn't realize that, and be put into prison, put into a place that he didn't really want to be for several years. And he had nothing, there was nothing he could do about it, because it was the sovereign will of God. He was forced. And when there's some things that you, that when God says, I'm going to get done, he has to force us in a sense. He can't force us to worship him. He can't force us to, you know, to, you know, think about him and love him, but he can, you know, move circumstances around and have people deal with us like Joseph was dealt with in a way that he, there was no way he could control it. Well, you know, so if people don't understand that God's in control of the situation, like in Joseph's circumstance, and what, you know, what was going on with him, that he could not control it, no matter what he did, no matter how much he cried out to God, no matter how many people he got to pray with him and agree with him, it just didn't really matter. You know, God was going to get him to work with Pharaoh when Joseph didn't have a clue. He would have never had a clue that that was going to go on, right? He never had a clue that that was going to happen. So, yeah. So it was sovereign. It was something that he couldn't control. No matter how much he prayed, it wasn't going to change. So sometimes we have the circumstances and sometimes we don't. So when a prophet speaks, like Joseph in a sense was playing the role of a prophet, because what he was doing, he was interpreting a prophetic dream for the future. So he was prophesying that, O Pharaoh, what your dream means is that it's God speaking to you about the future. And now I'm going to prophesy to you the interpretation. And that prophetic interpretation is that you're going to have 7 years of blessing, and then you're going to have 7 years of famine. And when Pharaoh heard that, he goes, it confirmed with him. It bore witness with him. Even though he did not know what it meant, it bore witness with him. And that's what bearing witness means. It's not always that you know what it means. It just means that, you know, Pharaoh just kind of went, yeah, you know, that's right. That feels right. That is right. Nobody else could get that. Joseph, you got it. I bear witness with it. Even though I'm not a child of God, I'm not an Israelite, I don't worship your God, it bore witness with him, right? Because when God gives you something, the prophets and ministers and people who flow in the Spirit will confirm to you, even though you may not understand, like he did not know what that dream meant, but when he heard it being prophesied, the interpretation was prophetic for the future, he bore witness with it. So that's what bearing witness means. It doesn't mean you already know, oh, yeah, I already got that word. And if you're not prophesying something that I already know, then it's not a word from God. Wrong. Bearing witness has nothing to do with that, and we've talked about this many times. So what do we do? So we've talked about the Babylonian church, you know, which we think that we can have. We got enough numbers, like in Babylon when they built the Tower of Babel. God even said, you know, they were a unity. They had a lot of them. And because they had a lot of them, they were unity, they could do anything. So what did God do? He confused them. So what do we do in the church today? We think that if we have a whole bunch of people, if we have, you know, 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 people agreeing with us, then it's surely going to come to pass because people agreeing with us, like we have a large amount of numbers. Well, as we've talked about the last few months, is that the vision for the future that I see that God is showing me that he's going to start developing is that of Gideon. One of the things was about Gideon, where Gideon had 32,000 people to go to war, and God got it down to 300. You know, because what did he want to do? He said, if you have a bunch of numbers, you're going to think if you have a bunch, now listen to this. God told him, he said, if you have a bunch of numbers, you got all these people, you're going to think you did it. But if I bring it down to something where it's impossible, where the numbers are so low, then you're going to know that, yeah, I used you, but there's no way you could have won that battle because you didn't have the numbers to even come close to winning. And you're going to give me the credit for it. And that's exactly what happened. God used 300 of them. He gave them a strategy, and that strategy won the victory, right? So it's about numbers. So when we start thinking, oh, we've got people agreeing with us that, you know, for instance, a certain Donald Trump is going to be president, and it's not the will of God, you know, we tend to thumb our nose at anyone who disagrees with us because we've got all this agreement. We've got millions and millions, millions of people agreeing with this, and got prophets prophesying it, so-called prophets prophesying. And so here's one of the scriptures that I got today. And, you know, the Bible says, wherever two or more agree, that's such a thing. Not millions. Two or more come into agreement is more powerful than millions of people who are in agreement against with something that is not God's will. It may be biblical, but it's not God's will. There's a lot of things that are biblical that are not God's will. Well, everything biblical is God's will, Randy. No, you know, there's different things that go on in the Bible. Sometimes God did it one way. Sometimes he did it another way. And if you didn't do it the way he wanted it done, like with Gideon, if he hadn't got it down to 300, and if he had stuck with the 32,000, the victory wouldn't have been won. God wouldn't have been with him. So it's all a matter of doing what God says. So when you got two or more agreeing on something, that's all it takes. That's why the scripture is so powerful. Matthew 18 talks about wherever two or more agree as touching a matter, then it shall be done. Because you're agreeing with the will of God. You're not just coming up with some biblical scriptural thing saying, we're going to apply this biblical reference here because we got the Bible, we got the Word of God, so we're going to apply the Word of God to this situation, and it has to happen. If I be a man of God, this has to happen. And the Lord's like going, yeah, I'm going to confuse that. I'm going to really confuse that. And what did he do? He smites with confusion. And just like he did Babylon. So we got to realize that. We got to break that thing of, well, you know, don't you know, Brother Chandler or whoever you are, that we got millions of people that don't agree with, you know, what you're saying or what somebody else is saying or whatever. Yeah, I understand. But, you know, when God says something and I come into agreement with that, that's more powerful than millions and millions of people come in agreement with something that's even in the Bible. Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it applies to what's going on now, right? If it doesn't apply, it just doesn't apply. And if it's not the will of God, it's just not the will of God. Jesus had a kind of a new plan going on. He said, "If this cup can pass from me," but you know what? He ended up knowing that the Father's will was better than his, even though he was going to have to suffer. So he had to change what he thought was going to happen, what he thought was best. What's wrong with having revival for 2.5 more years or three? I can do this. I can do this 3 years from now. We can touch a lot more people. We can do a lot more things. Why do we have to do this now? You know, I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know exactly, but that's kind of a thought process. Like, wow, God, we're going to glorify you. Is that biblical that we're going to glorify God and have more miracles and touch more people? Is that biblical? Yes. But was it the will of the Father? No. The will of the Father was that Jesus drop all that and move on to the cross and suffer so that the greater glory realm would open up, and that is that the whole body of Christ, the regular folk who are not the Christ, the regular people who he prophesied to and said, greater works shall you do than I do. That's the greater works. So what's happening in America today and all what's going on with Putin and you know, Biden and the European Union and all that, friend, it's moving into the place that God has a greater glory going on. It may not look like it to you. You may look like now you're going to have to suffer a little bit more. So did Jesus. Jesus had to deal with the fact that he's going to have to suffer, that he knew they were going to brutally beat him. He knew that they had conspired against him to take him down and to kill him. He knew that. He told them many times, yeah, you're trying to kill me. And they said, who's trying to kill you, Jesus? They acted like they weren't trying to kill him when they were. He knew it all the time. So when he said that, he was thinking, you know, God, it's biblical that you shall have revival, you shall heal the sick and raise the dead. So we can just keep doing that because that is biblical. And the Father goes, yeah, that's biblical, but it's not my will. So you're going to suffer a little bit, but in a very short time, the glory of God is going to be manifested in the earth. So he went to the cross. All of his disciples freaked out. His mother's heart was broken. Everybody went, my God, I thought he was the one. I guess he's not. And it went into a state of panic. And then 3 days later when he rose from the dead, it all turned around. He gathered them together, and he said, now the greater glory is going to come. I suffered it. I yielded it to the Father. I chose not to keep doing revival and keep healing the sick and raising the dead, even though that was biblical, I chose to do the will of the Father. So when you talk about Joseph, when Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, kind of like a prophetic word, given that America is not no longer going to be great, but it's going to go into a greater glory, more some suffering's going to happen, but the earth and God is moving the earth and the globe toward the Antichrist system being manifested, the church separating out from it, and the greater glory of God begin to come on the church during the suffering, during the time of suffering, which is going to be a very short time, really. And what's going to happen? The greater glory is going to happen. We're going to end the cycle up and down, in and out, up and down, in and out, good king, bad king, good king, bad king, good king, bad king. We're going to end that because the time has come, and there's no more delays. There's not going to be any more delays. Trump is not going to delay it anymore. He delayed it for 4 years. That was God's will. But he's not going to delay it anymore. And no matter how much you pray, no matter how much Joseph would have said, okay, Pharaoh, your dream, you know, your dream, the 7 years of plenty, okay, we think that's God. But the 7 years of famine, we're going to pray against that. We're going to bind that up and cast that down. We're going to get all of Egypt and all the world to agree together in our prayers that we will not allow that famine to happen because famine is not of God. You know, did Joseph do that? No. No. You know what he did? Instead, what we've been trying to tell people is to prepare, realize what's going to go on, that the famine is coming, store up and get ready to have preparations and have our own sources, our own supplies for Texas and, you know, Florida and other states that are going to come along and all around the globe to begin to do like Joseph did and just store up and be prepared and get ready. You can't just sit there and say, oh, I'm going to bind that up. The Antichrist is not going to come forward. That devil, he's... And the Lord's going like, that's not my will. It says, oh, it's biblical what you're saying, but it's not my will. The famine is coming. So let's gather together while we can, pray that those among us who are in those areas of business will begin to do exactly what I'm talking about. Because the Lord is telling me to interpret the prophetic future for what's going on, and that is we're heading into what would be, quote, called a famine in the days of Joseph. You're not going to be able to stop it. The Antichrist is going to become big. A lot of resources are going to go with them, but we're going to have our resources. We're going to suffer a little bit, but we're going to have resources. We're going to have food. Israel's going to have food. The 144,000 are going to have food. We're going to have food. God's going to bless us. We're going to have our own. We're going to have our own abilities to do things. It's not going to be as great as what we had before, but it's going to be good. And we need to start doing like Joseph did, and that's why Pharaoh said, Joseph, why don't you take over? You interpreted this prophetic future. You interpreted my dream, which was a prophecy, prophesied to me that we're going to have 7 years of blessing and 7 years of famine. So why don't you run things? Why don't you tell us what to do? Since you interpreted it and God is with you, what do we do about that? He said, well, during the 7 years of blessing, let's take food, supply, let's get ready, let's prepare. Prepare for the famine, prepare for the separation that's about to come on from the blessing. And when the 7 years of famine come, we will have food and supply and be ready. But what people are doing today, a lot of the prophets, oh, we bind that up. That Chandler guy that's saying about Biden's okay, which I never said that. We're going to stop that. We're going to rise up and we're going to pray against that famine. That famine is not going to happen. And you know what? When the famine starts happening, they're going to be going like, we don't know what happened, man. The devil really got out of control. But no, the devil didn't get out of control. God tried to warn us. God was trying to tell us, and people didn't listen. Therefore, they're going to suffer. They will suffer tremendously, and it's going to be sad. It doesn't have to be like that. What are you saying? And I think I'm making it pretty clear. I hope I'm making it clear. You need to get all that stuff that's been stuffed in your ears that's made you deaf to the voice of God, and start listening to the word of the Lord instead of all that fleshly nonsense that people are talking about. Oh, we don't believe Pharaoh's dreams of God. We believe in the blessings, yeah, the 7 years of prosperity, but we don't believe in the 7 years of famine. We ain't going to have that. No, we're going to rise up. Well, the famine came anyway. Joseph knew better. He prepared for the future. and therefore he saved. God used him, gave him wisdom, gave him knowledge on how to save the globe and his own people and Israel and Egypt. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So it doesn't really matter what people are saying, right? It doesn't matter what other prophets are saying. We need to hear the voice of God. The last 3.5 years of this coming famine is going to be, it's going to be destructive. When they had a seven year famine, think about that, 7 year famine, 7 years tribulation, and then the last 3.5 great tribulation. Why is the last 3.5 great tribulation as far as a famine goes? Because the last 3.5 years of a famine, you know, if you don't have a bunch of food stored up and some water, you're going down. You will die. So what did Joseph do? Joseph got a plan together. What are we trying to do here at PGN? What's God speaking to Randy do? To get things together, let's get some resources going on instead of trying to stop the famine from coming. It's God's sovereign will. God told Joseph, he said, tell Pharaoh this, because you had the two dreams mean the same thing. It means it shall shortly come to pass. It is going to happen. You can't stop it. It's sovereign will of God. And that's what's going to happen, friend. Period. No, maybe, no, if we repent. No, it didn't really matter. When God told Joseph to tell Pharaoh, two dreams meant that it was surely going to come to pass. It was sovereign. It was going to happen no matter what. Then that just tells you, what do you want to pray against the famine for? Prepare for the famine. Don't pray against it. Spend the blessing. Well, we don't have to spend the blessing. You know, we're not going to have to, we don't have to preserve during the years of blessing. You know why? Because we're not going to allow that famine to come. We're going to bind that famine up. So we don't have to be. We don't have to get ready. We don't have to prepare. Oh, we're mighty. We're men of God. We're women of God. Yeah, and you're a bunch of foolish virgins. And that's what we're going to find. We're going to find a lot of foolish virgins. And when it comes to their oil, their provision, they're going to be asking you for your provision. They're going to be asking you for your provision. You know what you're going to tell them? And we tried to warn you. We tried to tell you. You didn't listen. You're missing your visitation. You don't have enough oil. You don't have enough oil. Why? Because you know what? You didn't listen to the word of the Lord. You didn't prepare properly. And friend, this is what's going to happen. And I hope to God that you're not one of those that we have to say, oh, no, we can't give you any of our oil. Joseph prepared for the future of the famine that was going to come because God said, not because he felt like it was a good thing. It wasn't his idea. It wasn't something, some idea he had. He said, 7 years of blessing, 7 years of famine. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be sovereign. It's going to happen no matter what. So what do? You don't even question praying against the famine. What you do is you use wisdom to prepare for it when it comes so that you're not caught without food and water. And that's exactly what's going to happen, friend. In the last 3.5 years of it, the famine's going to be rough. Yeah, so we need to do like Joseph did and recognize the sovereignty of God's word. That no matter how much we get millions of people to agree that Trump's going to be president and make America great again, that is not going to happen. The will of God. Is it a good idea? Would it be great? Yeah, it's a good idea. It's great. Unless you see the greater glory. Jesus, when Jesus saw the greater glory, he thought, oh, man, my plan of having revival for 3.5 more years and then doing it later was ridiculous because, you know what? God wanted the disciples to have revival for the next, you know, 1,000 years, 100 years, or whatever, hundreds of years. So that was the greater glory. But Jesus, at the moment, was kind of like blinded to that. And so are people blinded to that today. They can't see the greater glory. All they're caught up into, oh, let's just keep this thing going. Let's keep this thing going. And God said, I'm going to go to the root of the problem. Jesus, he said to Jesus, no more delays, Jesus. No more delays. And that meant great tribulation for Jesus for a few days. Was ran. The disciples panicked. The disciples freaked out. The disciples thought we're all going to die. They were hiding out. Who could blame them, right? They didn't listen to the prophet. They couldn't hear him, just like they can't hear it today. many people can't, not our blog talk people, but many people who listen cannot hear it, and they will not hear it unless the Lord does a mighty miracle. We need to pray for that for God's people. All right, so there you go. All right, good to be with you tonight. I have a lot I wanted to share tonight. That's just a little bit of it. I want to share one quick little thing, and then I'm going to move on to take our callers. One of the reasons I want to share some of the reasons that I want you to kind of know why I can't share the Antichrist name with you, because people ask me about it, and if I was you, I would ask about it too. I always wanted to know who the Antichrist was. You know, just kind of cool to know who's the Antichrist. It's a big thing. It's an amazing thing. But the reason that I cannot reveal that name, there's different things I want to talk about that. And so one of the things is it's number one, it's classified information. And unless it's revealed in a certain way, it can't be given out, right? So here's one reason, because once people find out who the Antichrist is, and they're a businessman, or they're into trying to find out what people are doing, and if you can find out what the Antichrist is doing business wise, and you get in on some of his business, you're going to make some money. So what do? They take that information and use it for their own benefit. Is there anything wrong with making money? No, but when it's not the will of God, it ensnares you. It entraps you. All right, and this is what happens. But when I first started getting information about the market round, the people that I hung around, the prophets that I hung around, fairly well known, used to be well known prophets that I hung around, they said, "Man, Randy, you know this is a blessing for the body of Christ. We can invest in the market as God gives it to you, and make money." That's what they told me. That's what they said, and I thought it was a great idea. So yeah, they're smarter than me. They're more profit than me. I'm like a nobody, you know. They're smarter than me. They understand things better than I do. So I said, yeah, let's do it. So God started speaking, and information started coming in, and they started trying to make money off of it. Not necessarily being greedy or, but it was just like a good business deal, right? Why not? Why not make money? This is God's way of making money for the body of Christ. And so, long story short, is it wasn't for that reason, because when we started doing that and developing all these things, the whole thing just kind of started getting dark on me. And the minute we stopped doing it, and God says, "Stop doing that, Randy, that's not me," then it turned back on again. And when you experience that kind of thing with the highly classified information realm, believe me, when it goes dark on you, you feel it, and it's scary. And I've had that experience a couple of times with God. Thank God he's patient. I did it myself. I thought, man, we can take advantage of this. If we know who the Antichrist is and find out what things he's invested in, because he knows what's going to go down in the future, if we can find out what that is, then we can make money off of that for the body of Christ. Just like when Judas said, and I did this myself, y'all, so I'm calling myself Judas, right? That's what I'm saying. I have that same spirit about me. Jesus, we could have taken that alabaster box and made money off that and took care of the poor. When it says he didn't really care about the poor. A lot of people say they care about a lot of things. You look at their finances, they don't take care of the body of Christ. They don't take care of the poor and needy, not necessarily. Maybe a little bit. But that's not their main goal. Their main goal is making money. And so I did the same thing. So what was Judas doing? He was saying something that was very precious to Jesus. When that woman came in and bowed down and broke her alabaster, he knew that was an expensive spikenard. It was an alabaster box that was highly valuable. Jesus knew that. And when she broke the seal and that aroma filled the room, Jesus knew that this woman was very precious. And what she was doing was a very precious thing that touched Jesus emotionally, mentally, physically. He said, "Woman, you don't even know. You are here to anoint me for my burial." His burial, his death, his suffering was going to be huge. He knew he was going to suffer tremendously. He knew he was going to die. He knew that the beatings and the abuse he was going to take was going to be out of this world. And when she was anointing him with that precious ointment, it made Jesus feel special and valuable. It touched Jesus at his heart and his emotions and his feelings. And he said, "Woman," he probably wept. I don't know that he did or not. But it touched him deeply. And then here Judas is trying to make a business deal out of it. Oh Lord, we could have taken that and make some money off that. You know, we're going to feed the poor, right? And Jesus going like, "Yeah, you know, devil, get off of my friend Judas. He's a businessman." Yeah, sometimes business people can get caught up into the Judas spirit. I've gotten caught up into it. The thing I just explained to you about when we did the market thing and trying to make money, for God's kingdom from the market, when it ended up, God ended up has now changed it over into that, but not the way that it was being done before. Now it's changed over. Now when you got God's approval to do that, like we have with PGN, once God tells you to take that gift and do it with this, then you got his approval, then it's different. Before, it's just like, we're coming up with a good idea. Oh, yeah, let's use that gift and make money for my ministry. You know, even though that's biblical, it wasn't the will of God. And so it caused a lot of pain. I learned a lot of things through it. I failed, made mistakes. I had that Judas spirit on me and didn't even know it. That's why I can talk about it. I don't condemn those people for doing that. Judas wasn't the only one that said it. When you read the scripture, the other disciples were saying the same thing. It wasn't just Judas. You look at Judas because he ended up killing himself and betrayed the Lord, but the other disciples were on the same page that he was on. If you go read the scripture. All right, so we got to get a big picture of all this stuff to start understanding what's really going on. That's one of the reasons that we can't share about the Antichrist, because people will do that. Another reason is that if when you tell the whole world who the Antichrist is, and they have this passion and hatred for the devil and passion and hatred for what the Antichrist is going to do, you know, if I give that information out publicly, just kind of randomly blurted it out there, and some guys listen, somebody listening on PGN or the word gets passed around, yeah, his name is this, and he lives over here. And they do research, and they go after him and try to kill him. And so because they can't kill him, they ended up getting put in jail, in prison for the rest of life for trying to murder a man who they were calling with the Antichrist. They're like, he's not the Antichrist. He's just a wealthy businessman. You're trying to kill a wealthy businessman? Yeah, he's the Antichrist. You know, Brother Chandler told us his name. We found out where he lived, and we went after him, going to kill him. Friend, there's many reasons why God does not let me give that information out publicly. Right? Yeah, because people can't handle it. When you give people class, if you found out all the classified information that's going on with our government, and you've seen what they do with people that bring it out into the open and share it, you know, it brings destruction. You know, yeah, I kind of share some, some corruption at times. But sometimes we don't know the whole story. It may look like corruption when it's not really corruption. Many times it is corruption, right? There's no question about that, right? But the point is that when you share information where you don't know the whole story of what God's doing or what's going on or what's really happening and what God is allowing to happen, and you go and you tell somebody the name of this person who's going to be the Antichrist, and they go try to kill him or take him out, it's going to destroy their life, and I'm going to be responsible for that, for them going and trying to do something stupid and taking out the Antichrist's life, and they end up getting put in prison for the rest of their life for trying to murder somebody. Oh, we know he's the Antichrist. Oh, I can hear the news. Yes, we picked up Christian brother so-and-so today, him and his wife. We said, what were you trying to do to that man? Oh, Brother Chandler said he was the Antichrist. We're trying to keep him from doing the Antichrist thing. We don't want that to happen, so we're trying to kill him. Well, now you can spend the rest of your life in prison. How do you feel now? Oh, I wish Brother Chandler had never told us. Friend, I'm telling you, this is real stuff. And so I don't mind people asking. You know, it's not that the reason that here's another one thing, and then I'm going to move on. Then I'm going to take our call. One of the reasons that God had me do it was so that when it comes to pass, highly classified secret from God comes to pass, and I've given out all the hints, his age, the color of his hair, and a lot of other things that I've given out, and when people realize, oh, God really did tell us. God really did know who the Antichrist was. It wasn't a surprise to God. That's one of the reasons God had me put the information out the way that we did many, many years ago. You see what I'm saying? So people say, well, why did you give it to us? Why did you tell us that you know if you're not going to tell us? Well, because what Jesus said, I'm going to tell you things that are going to come to pass when they come, so that when they come to pass, you know that I knew. So in this sense, we give him hints, and like I said, his name, but his age, the color of his hair, and several other things that we've given out. that when you see, when the Antichrist manifests himself, and you go, oh, yeah, that's exactly what Randy said. He was exact. That was exactly right. Now we see that all the hints he gave us, really God did know. So, friend, I hope that kind of maybe helps you understand a little bit more. It's fun. Who doesn't want to find out who the Antichrist is? We all do. We all do. And if I'd have heard somebody tell me they knew the Antichrist was, God showed me the Antichrist, I think they were a nutbag. So when I shared it, I knew what people were going to think. You can't blame them. But they're wrong. God did show me. And that's the way it is. So there you go. All right. Let's take callers tonight and see what's going on. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for being patient. And thanks for listening to the, I have a lot more I want to share, but I'm going to stop right there and take our callers tonight and pray for them before my voice goes out. I don't know. I'm feeling really great. You know, I had COVID there for 2 or 3 weeks and finally just broke loose of it. I never really felt bad, but I just never really felt good. And when you're used to feeling good and being energetic and you don't have that energy and you're feeling kind of raw, oh, I hate that stuff. I'm a wimp when it comes to that stuff. It really bothered me. And so when I start feeling good, it's like, yeah, so I'm feeling good. Everything's great. But sometimes my voice kind of tries to go out on me a little bit. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your hunger for the Lord and what God is doing. Thank you for being connected to the prophetic realm and to the prophet and what God is saying, and that we humbly bow ourselves before him and thank him for every word he speaks to us. We're so grateful to God for his love and his communication with us that he gives us. We're so grateful for that. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful God chose me to do what he's called me to do. And when I suffer, he made it in a way that I kind of enjoy it most of the time. That's the real story. I don't always enjoy it, but I enjoy it most of the time. Yeah. Because he makes you like that. It's not that you're strong and that you're, you know, a great something or another. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with God makes you like that. That we're giving all the glory and the credit because it doesn't tear you up and mess you up. It's a test. It's a trial. But it doesn't destroy you because God makes you too. So when the rejection comes, you are able to, you know, get blessed by it. All right. Let's take our callers now. Our first 972-695, second caller 202, third caller 325, fourth 950, the next one 754, next one after that 912, after that 769, after that 804, after that 404, after that 831, after that 803-991, after that 847-505, after that 903-808, after that 919-995, after that 612, 805, after that 509-492, after that 402-650, after that 623-2382, after that 951-966. And then the rest of you guys going to have your hand up. So, all right. I'll just take our first caller tonight. See what's going on. Who am I talking to you referring, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, you guys. Good to have you tonight. God bless you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the voice of God that's in Tanisha, God. I thank you for your voice in her, God, that when the voice of God begins to speak deep down within you, it's like an echo, and it starts, like when you say, get into the Grand Canyon or something, and you say, hello, it goes, hello, 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 hello. It doesn't change it from hello to goodbye. It whatever word is spoken, when you say hello into the Grand Canyon, I've never done it before, but I've had things like it, and it echoes, hello, 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 hello. It doesn't change it after five hellos and goes, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. You know, it doesn't do that. It doesn't change it. So I hear the word of God echoing through you. What's spoken down in the deep depth of your being doesn't change as it comes out of your mouth. But God's showing you the echo effect of God, right, so that so when a word is started on the inside of you, when it comes out of your mouth, it's the same word. When it's spoken to other people, it's the same word. Wow, that's kind of unusual. Very cool. All right. For Terrence tonight, Lord, thank you for Terrence, God. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence. Terrence, I see a sense of new love coming into your heart for God and even for your enemies. that God giving you a love for your enemies. I don't know what you're doing, but you're breaking through because maybe it's happening deep down in your spirit. I don't know how it's manifesting yet, but I sense that, you know, because oh, the only, I don't know about you, but I can't love my enemies with my own love. And I've tried. And it just doesn't work. And I kept thinking, God, what's wrong with me? I can't seem to love like you do. You love your enemies. I want to whack mine. Like, I don't know how. And he said, that's because it's not my love, Randy. You're walking in your love. I went, oh, because my love is strong. When I love passionately, right? When Terrence loves, he loves passionately. He has a passionate that love inside of him. And I thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God. And I thank you, God, that as God begins to open up that realm of love, that you're able to find love for your enemies that you've never had before, and takes you into a whole other dimension of God, because love becomes your protection. Because when you're able to love your enemies, what happens? Your enemies can't take you down. The thing that God does is the enemy does that in our life, he tries to do all these different strategies to take us out. Well, what's one of the greatest strategies he uses to pit people against us? And get us to, you know, try to hate them or not love them. You know, it's one thing to not hate them. It's another thing to love them. Oh, I don't hate them, but do you love them? Love them? Do you know what they've done to me? Do you understand what they've done to me? I mean, they've been mean and cruel. So you can say you don't hate them. We can say we don't hate them, but do you love them? And I see you walk. I see God manifesting his love inside you. By the Holy Spirit, and what happens is that becomes your ultimate protection, because the strategy the enemy has is to take you out with unforgiveness, with you know, not being able to forgive, not being able to give them over to God. We can try to give them over to God, but when the Holy Spirit helps you do it, it becomes a success. We're more than conquerors. So I thank you, Lord, for that love realm, God, for his ultimate protection, the keeping power of God. The Bible says that we abide in Christ. The only way you can abide in Christ is by the love of God. Because love keeps you from getting distracted with, you know, dealing with people on your own. Right? Amen. It's your protection. It's your armor. It's everything. It's the thing that cleanses you and washes you. The love of the Father. The love of God. Terrence, so rich and free. It's rich and it's free. It's all going to help you get through all your battles, your struggles. The greatest weapon we have is love. It's not intellect. It's not strategy. It's love. Oh, my God, I felt that. All right. All right, 202-722. May I talk to your friend, please? 202-722, are you there? All right, Nicole. Sometimes Nicole says she falls asleep. Well, welcome to the crowd. If you don't follow, if you haven't ever fallen asleep, you're not a true warrior of PGN. Right? So I don't know if she's fallen asleep or not, but God bless you, Nicole. I know that's you. I know that number. Thank you. Thank you for your service to God. You know, Terrence and Tanisha, you've become one of our hosts now. They've been serving for many years, and thank God for their service to the Lord Jesus, and thank God for yours. And so as she has she hosts a show on Sunday, every Sunday around noon, Texas Central Standard Time. You might get on our alert list, but we can alert you and remind you of that at 11:30 or 11:45, something like that. So get on that. So thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. God, I thank you, Lord, for the love for truth, for the love of truth, the love of truth, not just truth, but the love of truth, the truth that brings love, and the love that brings truth. Yeah, but wow, that's very interesting. The love that brings truth and the truth that brings love. Wow. Yeah, because when you love the truth, you're willing to change the way you think, right? Because you love the truth. Love the love of truth. You know, Jesus said he said, you don't love me, you don't love my Father. You don't love my Father, because you don't love me, you don't love my Father. And so that meant that they didn't love the truth. Because when he spoke the truth to them, they got really offended, to say the least, right? They got really, really offended. And so as that all began to happen, and they got offended, Jesus revealed to them, he said, you don't really love the Father, because if you love the Father, you love me, because I'm telling you the truth. So love for the truth and the truth that reveals love that God has put in you is a beautiful thing. I think that's probably why you maybe have that calling to teach and to share. Amen, because you want to equip people. God's called you to equip. So there you go. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
All right, Chris. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for the peace of God. You know, let peace rule your heart. When peace rules your heart, it means that it kind of becomes the empire. In fact, I think that's exactly what the scripture says. Let me see if I can find that. Oh, there it is. Yeah. All right. Colossians 3:15. And that peace, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let's see. There's some different versions. I'm trying to find the one. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers. All right, that's not the one I want either, but that's a good one. Yeah, here's a good one. I don't know what version this is, but it's and let the shalom, the peace which comes from the Messiah, be your heart's decision maker. That's where I'm going with this. Be the empire. One version says, I can't find the version right now that says it, but it says the empire. Yeah. So let it be your decision maker. What version is this? It's the Complete Jewish Bible. Oh, Complete CJB version, in case you want to look it up. Colossians 3:14-16. Above all these, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together perfectly. Wow, that's preaching tonight. And let the shalom, let the peace which comes from Jesus, the Messiah, be your heart's decision maker. Well, this is why you were called to be part of a single body. Yeah. Okay, that's really it. That's really even better than that peace be your empire, because that peace be your empire is really the scripture that I got, but I can't seem to find that version. So I think what God's trying to say here is King James. Okay. And let the peace of Christ rule and act as umpire. There it is. Act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions. That's really a big word right there, bro. And I don't know why God's saying that. He's showing you how to walk, because sometimes we don't always, quote, hear the voice of God. You know, I don't always hear the voice of God about everything, but this whole thing about peace, that God's going to show you the difference between your peace and his peace, that his peace, the peace of the Messiah, will be what powers your decisions. That's out. That's in. Strike one. You know, so from the Christ, act as empire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions. That's what the Lord's saying. So he can really show you that, because when we don't always hear the voice of God, like, you know, clear as a bell, Like, I don't think anybody here always hears the voice of God clear as well. But like Jesus walked in, the peace of God. So when you have that peace, that becomes the empire saying, that's in, that decision's in, that decision's out, the peace of God. Sometimes we can make a decision that we're stretching ourselves, we're stretching ourselves, and it can create a little bit of unsettledness, but then there's that umpire peace inside that says, that's in, or that's out. God's really going to open that up to you, bro. And it's mainly for decisions, daily decisions, decisions with little things, big things, all things. May God bless you with that, open you up to that realm of peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. All right, 954-580. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Caroline from Jamaica.
Oh, hi, Caroline. All right, Caroline, nice to have you. All right, Caroline from Jamaica. Thank you, Lord, for Caroline, and I thank you, Lord, for that part of her that wants to pioneer things, that wants to do new things, that she will, that you're going to teach her, God, how to step out of the boat. And because stepping out of the boat is always something that nobody, not very many people are doing, like in Peter's situation. What was happening was that he, you know, he was the only one that got out of the boat. And he was the only one to ever walk in the water. He's the only one to ever walk in the water. Like, he was the only one. So there's that part of you that wants to be the one, the only one. And that's not a selfish thing, Caroline. That's not a thing of being weird or crazy or hyper-spiritual. It is that thing in you that wants to do like Peter did, you know, and eventually Peter got to preach, you know, to the whole, on the day of Pentecost. He's the one that chose him to preach. So he had that kind of faith. And people condemn themselves and criticize themselves, think, oh, that's just greedy. I just want to be special. I just want to stick out like a sword. I just want to stick out. So I can be, no, when God has called you to shine with his glory, and that you not be ashamed of that, amen, and walk in that, and that God opened you up to that. All right, 754-240, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
All right, y'all. Good to have you guys. All right, Jesus, there's a new movement. There's a new movement going on. I sense that you guys, both you guys, catching the wave, like catching the wave of a new movement, a new movement. There's a whole new movement going on. That new movement toward the way you think, a whole new movement toward, you know, breaking free from the past, that whole new movement of a God doing a new thing and thinking new, like things that you've never really done before, but you have the gift to do inside you. And do business and get your own resources going on, which was the word we gave you, like, I think, January of this year. And so this whole new thing going on. And, so your God is really renewing your mind. He's going to renew your mind. He's in the process of renewing you. Things that you've dreamed about, he's going to take your dreams and make them new. He's going to take them dreams, your dreams, and make them real. Where you're thinking new. You're expecting new. You have expectation of new things. You have an expectation of a movement. There's a movement going on. There's a movement going on. And God is letting you catch the wind of that as your sails of your faith, of the sails of your prayer, of the sails of your belief system catch the wind of God. It's going to move you in the direction God wants you to go. Amen. Yeah. So the wind of God is going to move you. All you got to do is just put up your hands and say, God, I trust you. I worship you, and let that be your sails, and let God begin to breathe into your sails and guide you and lead you. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Yeah. So raise up those hands in yieldedness. Raise up those hands being vulnerable to the Lord. And let catch that new wave. All right. Hang on a second. All right. Catch the wind of the new thing. That's what we're trying to do. God, there's a wind blowing. Some people are going to resist the wind. And God says, catch it, because I'm going to take you place you've never been before. I'm going to give you things you've never dreamed about, exceeding your dream, your ability to dream. Amen. All right, 912-318. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Sandra.
Sandra?
Yes.
Hi, Sandra. Good to have you. All right. God bless you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Sandra. God, I thank you, Lord, for Sandra. God, I thank you for all the reversals, all the, watching God reverse things, like watching God turn things around. And, it's like you're like those 180 degree turnarounds. Like you're going one direction, all of a sudden the Lord says, turn around and go, like 180 degree turnaround, like a reversal of things. I see things reversing around you where people going one direction, maybe going the wrong way, like Paul the Apostle was 180 degree. He was going one direction with all of his heart, and all of a sudden the God says, he knocks him off his horse and completely changed him and turned him around. And I see this happening with you. I see it's like an anointing to do that. Some people call that repentance. Well, repentance isn't like always doing something wrong and then turn around and do something good. It's just meaning you can be going, a direction. The globe has gone a certain direction for a long time. Then all of a sudden, it's done 180 degree going a different direction. God's giving you the ability to be able to flex with that, to be able to be bend with that, be able to move with that without breaking, without falling apart. And not everybody has that ability, so we have to be patient with people. Sometimes understand that they're not given that ability. Just like with me, God showed me one time, Sandra, that he said, I've made you to be rejected. In other words, he wasn't saying, I've made you so people will reject you and not like you. He said, I made you so that when you are rejected, it doesn't take you down. Yeah, it's difficult, but it doesn't mess you up. You grow from it. You have that ability to be flexible, to move. Like when people reject you or whatever, or this big change is being made, you don't break by it. You flow with it. You go with it. And so God's giving you that ability to do it, and God just wants you to know that so you don't even think you're going to break. You don't even think you're going to, you're going to move with it. You're going to flow with it in Jesus' name and make adjustments as God gives it to you. All right, 769-220. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Andrika in Georgia.
Hi, Andrika. All right, Andrika, good to have you. Yeah, nothing fancy, just pure. But I hear you saying, like, nothing fancy, just pure. I want the pure thing. I don't want the fancy stuff. I want the pure thing. You have a heart for purity, Andrika. God's giving you a heart for purity. And that's called being like a virgin, like a spiritual virgin. And because God's giving you a heart for purity, God's very jealous over you that he's not going to let anything impure come in and try to defile you. In other words, he's the keeping power of God over you because you have such a God-given passion for what's not, forget the fancy stuff. That's okay, but I want the pure thing. I want what's pure. And because God's given it to you, he's going to give you the pure thing. So the pure thing doesn't always come with fanfare, and it just comes with love. It comes with a desire for Jesus. That loving Jesus told a lot of people that didn't love him. He said, "You don't listen to my truth. You don't love me. You say you love the Father. You don't love my Father because you don't love me. You don't love the Father because I represent the Father." And so they didn't love the truth. They didn't love the truth, and because they didn't love the truth, they didn't love Jesus, and they really didn't love the Father. So that love for the truth you have gives you a true passion and love for the Father and for the Lord Jesus. And that's going to keep you. That's going to guide you. You're going to walk into the purity is what keeps. Anytime we have, Jesus told Satan, he told the people, he said, Satan had nothing in me. That's why he can't get me, because he had nothing in me. Why? Because I am the truth. And of course, he loved the truth, but he was the truth. And it keeps Satan from having anything in you to defile you and to mess you up. A little bit of leaven, leaven's a whole lump. So God gives us a love for the truth, and that protects us. Comes our protection. All right. All right, 804-218, you might talk to your friend, please. Our code 804-218. Can I talk to you, friend? All right, I know this is Angie. All right, Angie. Thank you, Lord, for Angie tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for the carefulness that she has of being watched over the things of God. God has called you to be a watchman, to watch over the things of God, to watch over them, to make sure they don't get, like what we talk about, over complicated, where they become pure, where they become beautiful, you know, and God's called you to be a watchman. That's why you have such a passionate desire for the love of God's glories, because you've been called a watchman, you know, over the things of God. Amen. So sometimes if you get offended at things, just know you're offended because like Jesus got offended at evil. He got offended at things that tried to water him. You know, he would rebuke them and say, "You're of the devil, you bunch of devils. He would tell them, you know, that their father was a devil and that they were whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. And, you know, the devil was their father. He got offended, but it wasn't offended in a wrong way. It was offended in a beautiful way. Because he was a watchman. That's what you are. You're a watchman. Your offenses have to do many times with being offended over what the enemy's trying to do. Okay? All right. So just get that in your heart. It's good. All right, 404-453. Can I talk to your friend, please?
Madeline from Georgia.
Madeline?
Yes, hey.
Hi, Madeline. Good to have you tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for Madeline, God, that, you know, that God's really going to show you, Madeline, the things that he wants you to hate evil, to hate the things that compromise people. Because you see, and you know, you've seen this, where a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. So it starts out with a little bitty thing, and then it ends up capturing somebody and takes over the whole lot. And because you've seen that, you know about that, God's going to give you a real hatred for the beginning of a thing, of evil, where even though it's small and little, it's like, you know, I see you pointing at it saying, do not ignore that. That is evil. That's going to mess you up. It may seem little right now, but it's going to mess you up. And God's giving you a desire to hate evil, even if it's little bitty, seeming like nothing. And giving you a desire to not be lukewarm, but to hate evil with a perfect hatred and to love God and to love his people. Amen. And I see, that healing restoration anointing flowing through you. Amen. All right. All right, 831-596. Who am I talking to, your friend, please? Air code 831-596.
Hi, Randy. Can you hear me?
Yes. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
This is Noelle in California.
Noelle, oh my gosh. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
All right, Noelle. Yeah, yeehaw. That's my way of saying Yahoo, yeehaw. To Texas is a Texas word for hallelujah. All right, Noelle. Thank the Lord for that burden bearing thing. The burden bearing part of you. That part of you that bears burdens, you have a deep care for things, and the enemy tries to take advantage of that to take the things that you care for and to use it against you and try to, try to turn things on you. But God says that what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the love you have, for the burden of the word of the Lord, that God is putting the burden of the word of the Lord on you. And the burden of the word of the Lord isn't like some overwhelming thing. It's just something that God gives you, a burden to think about things. So you have this meditation thing inside you. It's called the burden of the word of the Lord. It burdens you, or it gets a hold of you, and you meditate on it. You dwell on it, and it's a burden. Sometimes it can be heavy. Sometimes not all burdens are heavy, but they're there just to, like, go, okay, pay attention to this. That's what a burden of the word of the Lord is. And it gets you to, you know, to meditate on it, to take hold of it. And that's what God did with the prophets. He used them to – he put a burden on them. And if the burden had to do with, you know, the changing of something, then they would come into agreement and that thing would be changed. So the burden was, okay, God says, okay, I'm going to share this burden with you, Noel. I want this thing changed. So I need you to agree with me and put the words out there, because I'm going to give you words to say. I'm going to give you desires to say things and to speak things. And when you speak those things, when you say those things in your battles, in your struggles, when you speak what my word says, what I'm giving you, then I take those words and I go to battle with those words. So it's important for you to know that the burden of the word of the Lord is he's going to give you, you know, information on what to say, what to do about a particular thing, you know, whether it's a legal thing or a personal thing or something with one of your kids, with a child or with a family member or whatever. When God gives you a word, that burden came from the Lord. Why? Because God cares about it. He cares about it. He wants this change. He wants this. He said these people think they're doing the right thing, but they're not, and they're opening themselves up to evil. So I want you to believe God to change that as you receive the burden, and then the words come with it. What God is saying, what He cares about, and you speak those things. God gets on those words, and He uses those words that come out of your mouth to create a thing, to bring the change that he's concerned about, but he needs you to come and agree. He needs you to speak it out, right? It's not that we're creating something. It's that his burden, his word comes to us, the thing he cares about, the thing he's burdened about, and he gives it to you to speak it or to pray it. And as you pray it, the more you pray it purely, because the more you pray about a thing, the more pure it becomes, you know, the more your prayers become pure. With the because prayers are words many times, and so when those words become pure, then God breathes on that pure word. Like we talked about last night with Jehoshaphat, God needed Jehoshaphat to do one thing, not get a bunch of warriors together. He said, just get some praisers together. They were the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah were praisers. What did he do? He said, okay, I'm going to give you something to do, and when you do it, I'm going to breathe on it, and I'm going to bring the victory for you. And when he had the singers go out there and sing, God brought confusion on the enemies, and they all killed themselves. They didn't have to lift a hand. And then listen to this, Noel. They reaped a mighty, mighty harvest, so much it took them 3 days to gather the harvest together. So get ready to gather the harvest. Woo, that was good. Amen. All right, 847-505. We're going to talk to you, friend, please. Hang on a second. Okay. All right. Noel sent me an image here. Breaking explosions rock multiple Ukrainian cities captured on video. Oh, wow. All right. I just saw that. Thank you, Noel, for sharing that. I didn't know that was out there. Russia attacked. All right. It's going on, y'all. Let's believe God. All right, the end times are upon us, that's for sure. Okay, hang on a second. All right. All right, Marja, thank you for being such a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for Marja tonight. And God, thank you for opening up Marja's heart to the spirit of freedom. You just want to be free. God is going to free you to love. He's going to free you to speak the truth. He's going to free you to share your heart, freeing you from any fears that the enemy tries to put on you, try to stop you, to try to trap you, to try to put you. God says, the spirit of freedom that's in you, God says, I'm loosening the spirit of freedom that's in you, Marja. And that spirit of freedom, what it does, it keeps anything that tries to lock you up, put you down, make you feel less than or intimidate you. The spirit of freedom just goes to war against it. And so the spirit of freedom in you, you have such a desire to be free to live your life without, you know, limitations, to live your life, you know, to love is the way you want to love, to have what you want to have from God. And God's opening you up to the spirit of freedom so you can be free to choose and free to do instead of, you know, be limited by circumstances and limited by people's opinions and that kind of thing. And giving you the ability to make decisions because you're free to make them. Amen. The spirit of freedom. I hear your heart crying out, freedom, 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 freedom. I am free. I am free. I do not have to take what is put on me. I take what I choose that God gives me to choose. I choose because God chooses in me. I have the freedom to choose the best quality, the high quality. And so, you know, you're not bound to like, okay, I can't afford this. That God's giving you freedom, girl, the spirit of freedom, liberty into your life. And it says, the truth shall set you free, and shall be free indeed. Liberty. All right, 903-808, who am I talking to you, reference, please?
Hi, this is Janie in Texas.
Hi, Janie. All right. Janie's one of our hosts on Mondays. She's been having some, a little bit of coughing still going on, so... pray for her that God begins to, you know, totally free her from all that. And other things that you've emailed me about, you text me about, I wasn't able to read all of it because I was right in the middle of some things. But I thank you, Jesus, for, hang on a second. Yeah, okay. All right, thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for breaking the famine, God. We thank you that you know, we go through these times where famine tries to grip us in different ways. Famine of emotions, famine of, you know, being free to do whatever we need to do. And I thank you, Jesus, that the spirit of grace, the spirit of unmerited favor, God, upon Jeannie tonight, Father, and Jesus, and Hollis. Lord, I thank you that they are able to come into everything. You know, sometimes our husband and wife situation, we don't always agree on everything, but the general thing we know that we have things in common that we love, that we like. And I see God really bringing some commonality with you and Hollis, some unity, you know, and finding out where you have unity at. And come into unity about those things, and because that unity that God's going to bring is going to break that cycle, the cycles of things that, because the Bible says whenever two or more agree as touching a matter, you move into the realm of things being done, right? You move into the realm of things being done. Yeah, Russia's at it tonight, y'all, and threatening everybody, that kind of thing. All right. It's getting crazy. All right. So, Jeannie, that unity, there's some unity God's going to bring with you and Hollis. You know, we don't always agree on everything. I don't always agree with everything on with my loved ones, with Julie, with other people, you know, but we find those things we have in common. Like, you know, there's a lot of things we have in common, but, you know, we find those things and that unity begins to intertwine us and stops the work of, you know, because where two or more agree is touching the thing, we get results. And I thank you, Lord, that you show Hollis and Jeannie this new level, a new level of coming to agreement with each other to bring blessing into their lives, Father. In Jesus' name, the spirit of unity. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I see it happening. I see it happening. Let it be done, God, because you both have those desires for the same things in many ways. And God's going to help you find those places, those things, and come into agreement, either in prayer or just come into agreement on it, and watch God move. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the fire of God on the altar is going to begin to burn again in those areas. Amen. All right, 612-805, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Hi, Joyce. Hi, David. It's not Joyce. All right, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Thank you, Father, for those, I see you making like bookmarks. Like when you're reading a book, you read a book or whatever, you mark, you put a bookmark on things that you really like. You know, like I really enjoyed this chapter, this part of this particular chapter. You put a bookmark in there. I don't know, maybe that may be an old thing. I don't do that personally, but I know I used to years ago. And so I see God bookmarking things in your life that he really enjoyed, that really meant something to him, that were in memories and things as certain parts of your life that God's going to bookmark. He's bookmarked them, and he says, Joyce, I really like this about you. I remember this when we did this together. I remember when we flowed, and the memories that God's going to flood your heart with of the blessings and of the agreement and the love you've had between each other. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. And Joyce's life, God, that he's going to put a bookmark. He's already put bookmarks in parts of your life, areas of your life. The whole story is always good, but there's certain particular things that God really said. I really enjoy, like when Jesus was asked by the woman who was not a Jew, but she was a Gentile, and can you cast the devil out of my daughter? And he says, well, I can't, give the bread of the children, to the dogs. She said, well, but the dogs, eat the crumbs from the master's table. And that was a bookmark for Jesus. He goes, like, I'm never going to forget you. You're amazing. This is a part of my life today. This is part of my so what did they do? They bookmarked it in the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of things Jesus did, but they put a bookmark in that because it was a special time. So I thank you, Lord, for opening up those special times between Joyce and you that you remember about her faith, and remember those things and focus on those things to bring good memories and good to activate her faith and her love and reactivate things, God, in her life. In Jesus' name, that you love about her, that you like about her. You love the way she believes. You love the way she talks. You love the way when she says something ugly to somebody, gets mad or has a hard day, and she gets it right with you. That she has a heart after you, God, and you're going to bookmark those things in her life and show her that you love those parts of her life. You love it when those things went on. Amen. To reignite her faith, Father, in new areas. All right, 509-492, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Deborah from Washington.
Oh, hey, Deborah. All right, Deborah. All right, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Deborah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for smashing. I think that for that anointing that destroys yokes. God, I think you sometimes yokes are fake. They're phony. They seem real. The Bible talks about fear. Somebody came with a really great thing about F-E-A-R, fear, false evidence appearing real. And I see a lot of things that are false evidences that appear real, that the enemy tries to make a thing out of it, like between people or in a business or in our lives or a ministry, but when the enemy tries to make a really big thing out of something, and it's just false evidence appearing real, things that weren't really real but appeared real. And I see God burning those things up with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and the things that were false that appear real. That happens to all of us all the time. That's what fear is. It's false evidence appearing, so making us try to think something's going on or making us think something's going to go on. That's never going to go on. It's just a false evidence. It's fear. And I see God breaking through that and bringing faith to you and showing you what God's plan is, the opposite of fear, the real evidence of things hoped for. Amen. And God opening up your faith level to be able to not let the enemy yoke you up with things that are from fear, false evidence appearing real, to the reality of Jesus, to the reality of what God's doing. and help you bring to a whole new focus on your eyes on Jesus to be able to walk in the water. Because even though the evidence of Peter's destruction was going everywhere, they were freaking out. The evidence was there because Deborah keeps her eyes on Jesus. That thing that, you know, if Peter would have got his eyes on the storm, which he did, the storm, but as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, the storm couldn't touch him. In other words, it was false evidence. It was very real in a sense, but in one sense, if he had his eyes on Jesus, how could the storm destroy him? So the false evidence was, I'm going to destroy you with this storm. And as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, it didn't matter what that storm, you know, cried out and said was going to happen. With Jesus, he was protected and kept. Amen. I don't know. I've never heard that before. I hope that made sense. I got it, but I hope I made it plain. Really clear. Really cool. All right. 402-5650.
Hey, Randy. It's John from Omaha.
Oh, hey, John. All right, John. Thank you, Lord. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. The present sufferings that we have, that you have, whatever that is, little, big, or both, are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. And that's not like when you go to heaven. That's not about God's going to, you know, sometimes we have to endure things for a while, and then the breakthrough comes. When we suffer things and we keep our sufferings in Christ, in other words, we keep casting our sufferings upon the Lord and saying, Lord, I know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening, but I trust you. I give it to you. Just last night when I was, I don't know if you ever hear the message about Jehoshaphat, but when Jehoshaphat was told by all of his enemies, he said, we're coming to get you. We got a great multitude. All you guys, a few little Jewish, Judahites, whatever, from the tribe of Judah, we're going to come take you down. Jehoshaphat said, the Bible says, I read it last night, it says, Jehoshaphat feared, but he took his fear to the Lord. The Bible says so sometimes we take our fears, our sorrows, our pain, we take it to the Lord, and the Lord said, here, I'm going to give you a strategy. And then the glory of God was revealed. So the sufferings of his, you know, moment became something that God brought a breakthrough for him. And I thank you, Lord, for that, for my brother John, in Jesus' name, and Melissa, in the name of Jesus. Bring that breakthrough, God, the things they've suffered, things they've gone through. Let it turn into glory. Let it turn into, it is hurtful. It is painful sometimes. It is, you know, like, what's going on? But just like Joseph, it says when his enemies told him that, he got that image in his mind, like, oh, my God, they're coming to get us, and fear hit him. But he took that fear, and he took it to the Lord. Nothing wrong with fearing. Nothing wrong with having anxiety hit us sometimes. But what do we do with it? When we take it to the Lord, then God gives us answers because he loves that we trust him in our sufferings and cast our care upon him. All right, 623-282, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Carmen from Texas. God bless you, Prophet Randy.
Hey, Carmen. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for the honor and the praises of God. I just sense that there's a seal being broken inside you. Like when you see, you know, like, I don't know, I've been reading the book of Revelation a lot lately, but when you see sometimes a seal be broken and out of the seal comes, you know, the voices of God singing glory to God in the highest, lifting him up. You know, I just sense this thing in you of a seal being broken and the glory of God, you know, rising up from within you, like a secret place, like a place within you that all of a sudden the seal is broken, like the alabaster box thing we talked about tonight. When that gets broken, out of it comes this sweet, highly valuable fragrance. And that's what I see happening with you. I see like an alabaster box situation where when she broke that alabaster, she knew that she was about to invest a lot in Jesus by anointing his feet. And Jesus said, and Jesus responded to her, like Jesus responds to you, and he says, woman, I don't know if she knew she was there. She said, this woman, he said, y'all, everybody, I want to stop and pay attention to this. It touched him so emotionally. It touched him so deeply. He said, this woman has anointed me for my burial. And I'm telling you, that's like knowing you're going to die, knowing you're going to suffer, and somebody really cares. And it really touched Jesus in such a passionate way that you know, it was written in Word of God. So, Carmen, God, that seal be broken, Father, and then she lavishes you with her praises. That it's going to touch you emotionally, mentally, And then, and of course, you know, Judas was right there saying, oh, we could have sold that, which totally tried to disrupt what Jesus was doing. Oh, we could have sold that. We could have taken that. I don't know why she wasted that on you. And Jesus was like going, what? You don't understand what's going on. This woman just anointed me for my burial. You understand what I'm saying? She anointed me for my burial. I'm about to die, and you don't even care about that. You don't care about anything but yourself and your money. But she cares about me. And it separates her out from the other crew. So, awesome. All right, 951-966. Can we talk to you, friend, please?
Hi, Prophet. This is Regina.
Oh, hi, Regina. All right, good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you. Good to be with you tonight. Thank you, Lord, Regina. God, I thank you for the hand of grace, for that unmerited, undeserved favor, Father. That, you know, the Bible talks about it when we receive grace, we give that grace away. And I see this thing in you breaking loose like an anointing of giving God's grace away, giving his unmerited, undeserved favor. Because what God is saying, he said, I'm making you, the Bible talks about being a good steward of God's grace. So how do you be a good steward of God's grace? You know this. When you receive unmerited, undeserved favor from the Father, and you turn around and you give that to somebody else, what does it do? It makes you a good steward of it. So therefore, that grace turns around, that unmerited, undeserved favor, you receive more of it, or it takes you to a higher level of unmerited favor, you know, where it doesn't make any sense. How did Regina get blessed? It doesn't make any sense. What did she do that was so wonderful? It was the grace of God, because she gave that grace. She gave unmerited, undeserved favor to those who didn't deserve it. When we give that to people who don't deserve it, it increases and multiplies that grace, that unmerited favor in us, because we're stewards. We're stewards of everything. And when we give that favor away, Regina, as God gives you the grace, the unmerited favor, undeserved favor away to those, God's going to bring that back to you. It's going to break doors open that you just thought would never happen, that you never dreamed. Oh, my God, I didn't know it was going to happen like that. Because that unmerited, undeserved favor being increased and multiplied in your life because you're a good steward of it. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Kind of same type thing. All right, 734-672. Who may I talk to you from, please?
Jennifer from Michigan.
Hi, Jennifer. All right, yeah, good to have you. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes the enemy tries to tell us, you know, you're off the books, you're off the charts here, and the devil is a liar. He tries to tell us, it just feel like we've been ostracized, or we have been for whatever reason. Sometimes it's the most stupid stuff in the world, like we've been discounted because something we did or didn't do. You know, it's not even necessarily things that we do. Sometimes it's like, yeah, if you'd have done that. Well, because you didn't, you've been discounted. You've been disconnected. You have been, God is looking past you, looking over, and the devil is a liar. And I don't know what's going on with all that, but I want to tell you something, Jennifer. You have not been discounted from the blessing of God for something you did or didn't do. You know, sometimes it's not about what we do, like we do something wrong. It's sometimes the enemy uses it to accuse us because we didn't do something, you know, that not even necessarily a thing of God, but just to accuse us. The accuser of the brethren. I see the accuser of the brethren being cast down. Like one of these days, Michael's and the archangels are going to have a battle with Satan. They're going to cast him down out of the heavens. But there's no more the accusers, no more accusing before God. And I sense something like that breaking. Amen. Where you begin to realize, like never before, that, hey, I'm called, I'm chosen. You know, and if I make a mistake and I don't do something right, you know what? I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I'm under God's favor, and I'm a child of God, and he's here to teach me. He never says, oh, you're out because you messed up. He uses our mess up, or maybe our failures, maybe our shortcomings. He uses them to teach us more about him, never to discount us. So and God's really going to deal with that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in a very powerful way. Amen. It's like the helmet of salvation to protect your thinking and to keep your mind on the right things. Amen. Like, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Never. Amen. All right, 919-995. Can we talk to you from, please? 919-995.
Echo 919995, are you there? All right, that's Cheryl. Thank you, Cheryl, for being with us tonight. All right, I think you're driving your car or something. Anyway, good to be with you tonight, Cheryl. Are you there, Cheryl? 919? Hello, 919-985. Are you there?
Cheryl from North Carolina.
Okay, Cheryl. I thought that was you. All right. Thank you, Cheryl. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus, for your favor, Father, upon Cheryl, God. When you realize you're favored, when God gives you the revelation, we have to have the revelation that we're favored. It's one thing to say it. It's one thing to think it. It's one thing for people to tell you. But when you get that revelation of it, it doesn't make everything perfect, but it begins to enter you into the place of, okay, God is really on my side. And if he's against me, if he's for me, who could be against me? So this whole thought process, I see if God, you know, showing you and convincing you and just giving you a revelation about it, that because he's for you, who can be against you? Well, of course people are going to be against you, but they can't win. Of course things are fighting against you. They fight against all of us, but they can't win because you know why? Because your mind, your thinking doesn't go there. Your mind, your thinking goes, you know, if he's for me and I know he's, and I've got a revelation, I'm not just trying to convince myself of it. I got a revelation from the Holy Spirit that God is for me. Therefore, who can be against me? So, you know, you start realizing it doesn't matter who's against you. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's like sometimes we get so caught up into, oh, we got so many people against me. You know, I've done that. I've done that. God, look at all the people against me, man. I don't have a chance. And God's getting, Randy, I'm for you. If I'm for you, who could be against you? Or who cares who's against you? Just be ready, be spontaneous, pray, believe. But keep your eyes on the fact that I'm for you. And if I'm for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. They're being against you doesn't do anything but becoming a blessing to you. Thank you, Lord, for that thinking with my friend Cheryl tonight, God. And bless her, God, and increase her and multiply her. Amen. That she will know. And she will, be ready and prepared for all that. Amen. All right. All right, 402-214. Who may I talk to you from, please?
Yeah, hi, Randy. Thank you. Sharon, New York.
Sharon. All right, Sharon, good to have you. All right. I thank you, Lord, for Sharon tonight. God, I thank you for being careful to give God praise, being careful to give God glory. I see God really awakening you to how important it is to give God the glory. You know, the Bible says be thankful in all things. It doesn't mean that we have to thank God for our trouble. Thank God in the trouble, because in the trouble we know that God is able to take us through it and out of it. So I see God really showing you how to, you know, to be, the word I got was be careful to praise him. Be careful to give him the glory. Be careful, you know, to give God the glory. Because when we get caught up into our pain, to our suffering, which we all do sometimes, and we forget about, you know, giving all the things God's brought us through and brought us out of, then we have to stop everything and just say, God, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. Thank you for the things you brought me through. Thank you for the things, because when we praise him for the testimonies, even if it's just one testimony, the power of our testimony, it's what overcomes Satan, the power of our testimony in the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So when you give God praise for bringing you through, God, I remember that one time that you brought me through. I remember this, you know, that time that you really did something for me. You showed up. I thank you for that. I give you the glory for that. It kind of refreshes and renews and causes God to come into your mind and give your mind the strength to endure the battle, and knowing that he's going to bring you through it because he's brought you through it before. And so when you praise him for it, that's what activates the anointing to bring you through and out of a thing, bring you through it. Yeah. All right, 804-218.
This is Angie.
Right,
can you
Angie,
hear me?
I prayed for you earlier already, but I want to pray for you again.
You did. I was asleep.
That's okay.
You didn't hear me snore.
I didn't hear you snoring. Not this time. But I tell people all the time, if you've never fallen asleep on PGN, that means you're not really you don't listen very often.
A member. You're not a family member. You're a visitor.
Exactly. All right.
I got
you. All right. Thank you. And I prayed for you already once, but, you know, I prayed for you because I knew that was you. So I thank you. You were, I think, like second in line or something. So thank you for being there. It's just something about being on time. You know, there's that whole thing about being on time. But it's not being on time according to men, because sometimes being on time according to men, you know, has nothing to do with being on time with God. You know, and sometimes we feel condemned because we're not on time with people. The Lord says, you know, yeah, we have a job, of course, we're going to be on time, and that kind of time, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about timing. Like, oh, you should have already had that breakthrough. Oh, you should have already been that. You should have already done that. You should have already done it. And we're like going, you know, I'm doing all I know to do. I'm praying, I believe in God. And so we connect into God's timing rather than men's timing, and therefore all that condemnation and that, you know, thing that goes on, it gets broken off of us because we realize, you know, I'm trusting the timing of the Lord. You know, I'm ready. I'm open. You know, God, if we miss this timing, sometimes he brings it back around because he knows we miss. And we all miss timing. We all do that sometimes. God never gives up. He never stops bringing that timing around. So, but the timing of the Lord is extremely important. And God's going to show you how to rest in that. When his timing comes, it's done. No, but nothing can stop it. Amen? Yeah, nothing. Nobody can stop it. Timing of the Lord is important. All right, 610-969, who am I talking to you from, please?
Shalom, Prophet Randy. Were you talking about me earlier? Because I texted you. Was that for me, the message earlier? This is Lisa from PA.
No, I haven't read your text, no. Tonight?
Okay.
No.
I texted you.
No,
Over the last couple years, a few times, and last night when you were talking to the Coley from DC, I texted you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I wasn't talking to anybody. No, I'm not sure what you're talking about exactly. But, yeah, thank you, Jesus, for Lisa, God. I thank you for her love for the truth. I thank you for her love for the Word of God, for the people of God. God's giving you such a love for the people of God, you know, that you like you come on and you say, you know, hello, family, you know, family of God. You know, there's something in you that wants to gather together the family, wants to gather together under the truth, wants to gather together under the banner of love and worship. And, because God's called you to do that, it's a beautiful thing. And to worship the beauty of his holiness. We kind of got into that last night. I got into that a little bit last night when I was talking to Angie, I think, and about how Ruth Heflin worshiped the Lord and made it so simple to get the breakthrough and bring us into the presence of God. And I thought, man, that's, God, help me to do that more. And so I started worshiping it, and I started singing that song, singing my own little song about the worship him in the beauty of his holiness. And I thank you, Lord, that's what, you know, Lisa has a calling to, is to bring people, to gather people together, to worship the Lord, to get our eyes on Jesus, to see his beauty. Because a lot of our problems get washed away when we see the beauty of the Lord. Lisa, you know that. And I thank you, Lord, for opening it up and for her family, for her children, God, for Devante, and those that she's praying for, God, that they will see the beauty of the Lord, that she will resonate and be a reflection, like the moon reflects the sun, that she will reflect the beauty and the light of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Yeah, I love it. All right, 803-991, who am I talking to you from, please?
My name is Angela, South Carolina.
Oh, hey, Angela. All right, Angela, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Angela, God. I thank you for that, for the purchasing power of your faith. You know, the Bible says, the Bible does say, come buy of me. So I guess we do buy. But when we buy, he says, come buy of me gold tried in the fire. It's not about buying. We don't buy God, but we come buy gold tried in the fire. How do we do that? By coming and offering our life to him. The only purchasing power we have is our faith and our love for him. We lay our lives down. That's how we. So God's teaching you how to purchase from him. Let me see if I can find that scripture. Hang on a second. Here we go. Revelations 3:18. Ooh, Revelations 3. Awesome. I counsel you, Angela, to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Wow, you know. So in other words, when we're covered by Him, you know, there's no shame, right? And that's what He's saying here. So when you're covered by me, so what are we buying of Him? He says, "Come and buy of me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich." Rich with what? And have white clothes to wear. It's because the clothing of the Lord. In other words, when we buy of God, we buy from Him clothing. How do we do that? By yielding ourselves to Jesus, by trusting Him, by believing Him, by using our faith as a currency. And God teaching you how to use your faith as a currency to buy from God gold tried in the fire. Now, not everybody can buy gold tried in the fire. You have to know how to walk by faith and live by faith. Because I want you to become rich. And God's showing you what that He's called you to be rich. He's called you to be blessed. He's called you to walk in the riches of His love, the riches of His covering, His protection, His anointing to see things. Because of what He says here, to eye salve, you know, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me read another version here. I'm looking at, hang on, just give me just a minute here. They all say about the same thing. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Amen. To cover your for God's covering on your life. Right, so we don't have shame. And I salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Yeah, and that seer in you, God opening up the seer in you. Because becoming rich means becoming blessed with being able to see what God sees. When you see what God sees, then you do what God does, right? When you do what God does, you become rich with His favor, rich with His love, rich with His, you know, yeah. So in Jesus' name. So God's really going to show you, wants to show you how to become rich God's way. Amen. The right way, the God way. Yeah, does that have to do with money? Absolutely. But it has to do with, you know, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Because that's called buying of me gold. Your soul prospers means that your soul gets covered with the glory of God. Amen? Yep. All right. All right. 863-268. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Nikki and Charles.
Hey, Nikki and Charles. Good to have you guys, mate. All right, Nikki and Charles, thank you. I think you guys are my last call if nobody else calls in. And give me just a second here. Hang on just a minute. All right, I'm back. All right. Yeah, that whole thing about what God's showing you about your oil and being careful with your oil and to, you know, He's really going to start showing you that. And, you know, just like I tell people all the time, and I've had, every parent has to deal with this. We're always trying to fix our children, trying to fix things for them instead of letting them suffer the consequences. You know, at times. And so it's difficult to do that. And because parents that always try to fix their children's process or fix their husband's stuff, or fix their wife's stuff, or fix the mama stuff or the daddy stuff, always trying to fix it. Like sometimes some people keep their kids from going to jail. If they're always going to go to jail, they're always paying their way out of jail. And there's a time to just say, okay, I've been doing that enough. Now I'm going to let you go to jail. You're going to go to jail. You know, you're going to learn how to stay out of jail. You're going to learn how to, so we have to learn how to not take our oil
and sometimes we have to say no, and that's a difficult thing to do. It just takes the Holy Ghost, because we don't know where to draw the line. You know, like Paul the Apostle had to deal with some pretty heavy stuff in the Corinthian church. There's some really, really messed up stuff going on. And he had to turn one guy over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, but it was for the saving of his soul. So sometimes we have to move to that place in dealing with things and situations, whether it be, you know, whatever, in any level of our life, where God, you know, says to us, you know, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, to save their soul or to deliver them from that thing. So I thank you, Jesus, for giving Nikki the grace, God. This is a powerful work. God's going to empower you. You're going to see victories that you weren't sure you were ever going to see. You're going to start seeing victories, because you know what? Just like every parent that I know of, my mom and dad tried to fix things for me for a long time. Finally, they quit fixing things, and I realized I was all alone. Nobody was going to fix my problems for me anymore, so I had to rise up and decide, you know, I'm going to trust God. And I got saved early because my mom and dad dealt with me like that. They booted me out of the house, basically. And it was hard for them to do it, but when they did it, you know, I was out of my own, without their help. You know, that's when I got saved. I got saved early because they did that to me. They did that for me. Like Paul turned that kid over to Satan for destruction of his flesh, for the saving of his soul, and he got right with God. He actually got right with God. And it was a devastating, horrible circumstance. It was unclean. It was nasty. It was dirty. It was filthy. It was like, God, who would ever deal with something like that? And Paul had to go to that measure. But the results were amazing. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching Charles and Nikki how to do that with people that they preach to and minister to and pray for, that anointing of how to, you know, there's times we show compassion and mercy in that. But when you know, and we give unmerited favor, but then when the Lord says, okay, turn them over or change the way you're dealing with this, and it takes the grace of God to do it, it's just, but when that brokenness comes in you as you obey God and doing what he's having you do, that brokenness is going to bring the breakthrough. That brokenness is going to bring the breakthrough. And when you're preaching to people, when you're ministering to people, you know, that breakthrough is going to be in you because you yielded to God in the situation and did what God said instead of what your feelings wanted to do, your emotions wanted to do. So breaking past that, when Abraham had to offer up his son Isaac, I mean, just think about that. He had to offer up his son Isaac. He was going to kill him on a rock and burn him up before the Lord. I mean, he decided he was going to do that. You know, that what that did, that broke him through. So I thank you, Jesus, for that anointing, that Isaac and Abraham anointing, God, as they yield over to you, Jesus, and bring that breakthrough, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Great. All right. All right, 847, who am I talking to? You're from, please.
Hi, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hi, Marja. I prayed for you earlier. I saw you there earlier. I already prayed for you, so you can go back and listen to that. But I want to pray for you again. So let's pray for you again. Thank you for being with us. Yeah, I did. I prayed for you. I don't know where you were at. You were in line there earlier, and I did pray for you. But you know what? I just love to pray for people, so I hope you don't mind. I know you don't mind. So thank you, Jesus, for Marja, God. I thank you for teaching her how to check her oil to see if he's getting low on oil. You know, like the virgins, the foolish virgins, the wise virgins, you know, they had to keep up their oil. So like in a car, like if you don't, you know, one time I took Julie's car, changed the oil. And she said, can you take the car and get changed the oil? I said, yeah. So I took it over there to the oil place, and the guy got it up there, and he opened it up, and, you know, I didn't see it, but he came back, and he told me, he said, sir, he said there was no oil in here. And it was completely out of oil. I went, oh, my gosh, it's amazing that engine didn't burn up, you know. But I laughed. I thought that is the – I've heard of stories like that where somebody's car – get the oil changed and there's no oil in there. I don't know why that's so funny. But, you know, God teaching how to check the oil.
Marcia, so you can make sure you have oil in your engine for God, so that you don't get up there and change the oil and you're completely out of oil. You know, like when the foolish virgins, you know, came time for them to rise up because the master had come, and so they had to all get up and, you know, trim their lamps and they were out of oil. So they go back, and so God's really teaching his people how to check their oil. Check your oil. See if you've got presence of God. See if you've got, you know, your own, like you've learned how to get your own supply of oil from the Lord, your own supply of worship, your own supply of anointing, your own supply of how to seek God. Like David said, when nobody else listened, was able to, you know, build him up, he learned how to build himself up in the Lord. God teaching you how to build yourself up in the Lord. Maybe somebody doesn't encourage you or build you up, and you're left all alone to kind of deal with your issue. And God teaching you with a powerful anointing, girl, how to build yourself up in the Lord, like what David said. He said, Lord, I build myself up in the Lord. I praise you, God. I seek you, God. I thank you, Lord, for the victory. And he built himself up in the Lord. And because of that, he no matter where he went, he always had oil. He always said he never went to have his oil changed. Didn't have any oil in there. I don't know why that's funny tonight, but it is. it's funny. I love it. Okay. All right, y'all. I think that's my last caller tonight, as far as I can tell. It's a great night. Check your oil. You don't have any oil in there. It's that look on the guy's face. I wish I had a camera on it. There wasn't any oil and there was no oil. I just went, I don't know why I'm not surprised, but it was funny. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We get so used to life, Marjorie. You don't know what I do. You just kind of go along. You don't even think about, you know, those things. We don't even think about those things. Unless we have a warning. Like now they put a warning light on these vehicles these days, and it starts beeping saying, you know, change your oil, check your oil, you're low on oil, you know. That way we get reminders. But anyway, all right, how to build yourself in the Lord, build yourself up, amen, in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, amen, hallelujah. We don't have to do it. We need people to be used by God to build us up and encourage and strength. Of course we need that. But sometimes it's like we're in a wilderness and there's nobody around. Everybody else is occupied with their own thing. And that's the thing about it is that sometimes we get into the point where everybody's occupied with their own thing and they can't. So we have to learn how to get our own oil and build ourselves up in the Lord. Amen. And God's really showing you how to do that. It's really awesome. All right, y'all. I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. That's my last caller. It's 11:03 Texas time. I'm getting off early again tonight. I think I'm prophesying faster maybe or something. I'm not sure what's going on with all that, but whatever. It's all good. We ministered to, you know, a few people, so we're good. Had a good time. Enjoyed it. Somebody else has their hand up, so I'm going to call it a night. All right. Thank you, guys. Love you. God bless you. Make sure and tune in tomorrow. You never know what the Lord's going to say. You know, it could be on Monday, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the word you miss, maybe the word that you need. So try to tune in, at least see what's going on and see if God's speaking. He's always speaking about something to somebody. Maybe to one person, maybe a bunch of people, but he's always speaking. That's what the prophetic realm is all about, is the voice of God always speaking. All right, we can depend on it because he said, you know, he's here to, we're his children. We're his family. We're not just some, you know, third-rate people. We are his baby dolls. Yeah, his babies, his children. All right, good night, everybody. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.